All right, finally we get to another chapter. This chapter is all about the specialness of water. I said in the previous chapter that the fact that water is a polar molecule is really the reason that we are here in all organisms, not just humans. Water is a polar molecule, so we've already talked about that. Here in slide one, we see a small population of water molecules, and when they encounter each other, there is this swiveling, as I said. Each molecule swivels so that its partially positive end, which in the case of water is the hydrogen end, is matched up to this partially negative end of the next water molecule. And therefore, a population of water molecules has a little bit more order to it compared to a population of nonpolar molecules, which are just randomly moving and bouncing. They don't do this swiveling because they don't have partial charges, which polar molecules do have. All right? Just remember that these are called hydrogen bonds, which are non-chemical bonds. They don't make new stuff. These still remain individual water molecules. It doesn't create a new compound. And so these are also, especially in liquid, very short-lived, these hydrogen bonds. They form and then they get broken pretty easily because they're so weak. But weak as they are, they're more than nothing, which is what nonpolar covalent molecules have. Okay, well, this fact that the water is polar really explains the rest of the chapter. The rest of these slides individually have to do with something that's special about water in a biological context, allows for something in biology to occur. But really, these various examples all occur for the same reason, because of the fact that water is polar. And in the first one, which is slide two, the first example we're looking at here is the movement of water through a plant. This tree is the representative plant. And there's a directional movement of water through any vascular plant, which is almost all plants. Vascular simply means they have little vessels. And this directional movement of water is such that water enters the plant in the root system from the soil, travels through the body of the plant, and then exits at the leaves. That overall one-way movement of water is called transpiration. That's the noun form. So we say the plant is transpiring. Well, it's good that we're using a tree as an example plant here, because trees, compared to most plants, are taller, of course. And as transpiration happens in small ones as well. But it's more impressive the taller the plant is, because notice that this is an uphill movement of water, which is exactly the opposite direction that oxygen is being pulled by gravity. Now, you tip over a cup of water, it's not going to go up. It goes down because of gravity. Gravity still exists here. In other words, something is forcing water to move against gravity through the body of the plant for this transpiration. And we see the explanation on the right-hand side in the inset here. Now, there's trillions and quadrillions and quadrillions of water molecules. Just four are shown here. But think about how tiny a water molecule is. And it's in a very narrow vessel of the plant. And like we talked about in... we didn't talk about that. It's a very narrow vessel, though. And the water molecules are polar, of course, like all water molecules are, which means they can form hydrogen bonds. Well, they're going to form hydrogen bonds two ways. They're going to form hydrogen bonds with other water molecules, which are also polar, of course. And they're also going to be able to form hydrogen bonds with non-water molecules that also happen to be polar and that are parts of the walls of these vessels that are in the trees. Okay, so the molecules making up the walls aren't shown here. You just have to imagine them. But the wall obviously is made up of molecules, right? Some of those are polar. Okay, so there are hydrogen bonds being formed, but we bother to give two different names to the formations of hydrogen bonds in this case. Two attractive forces get separate names here, even though it's really the same thing. It's hydrogen bond. And those two attractive forces are called adhesion and cohesion, as you see listed here. It's really the same thing, hydrogen bond formation, because of polar molecules getting together. But the difference here, co, just like in covalent, once again means share. So cohesion is the force of attraction between between particles of the same type. Water molecule and water molecule cohere. They have cohesion. Adhesion is attractive force between different types of molecules. And in this case, there's adhesion between the water molecule and a molecule making up the wall of the vessel. All right, now, the three dots here represent hydrogen bonds. And if you can imagine this being near the top of the plant, then that would make this uppermost water molecule kind of like the engine of a train. You know, trains only work if all the cars are connected together. And one of them is the engine. Sometimes there's more than one engine, but think of a one-engine train is really pulling all the others, right? It's only pulling one directly. It's only directly connected to one car behind it. But that car then is attached to the car behind it, and so on. That's why we call it a train. That's kind of what this column of water molecules is like. Now, I said that water exits as part of transpiration. When it exits, water is evaporating from the leaves. We've talked about liquids and gases in lab a little bit, right? Evaporation means some number of molecules that are tightly packed together with other molecules in the liquid phase are leaving and going off on their own, spacing themselves out. So those are exiting. If you get rid of this one in the front, which is the engine at the moment, that's going to leave some space there, which means now this new engine can be pulled upward because of the attraction it has with a molecule making up part of the wall. And it's going to drag the water molecules behind it along for the ride, just like a train engine carries the cars. So the more evaporation you have, the more traveling of the train up the entire height of the plant. Did you have a question?
Yeah, so adhesion is just the attraction of two different particles?
That's right. It's the same thing happening. We just call it adhesion when it's two different particles, cohesion when it's two of the same. Now, if you think about the tallest organisms that have ever existed, which are sequoia trees, that is a huge vertical distance that water has to travel. And you have to think about, you have to appreciate how much energy it takes to move water uphill. If you think about water in your house, you just take for granted, if you've paid your bill, that you turn the spigot on, water comes out, right? The reason water comes out is because there's more pressure inside the pipe than outside. But what is it that causes the pressure to begin with in your water system? Why is the water pressurized? Did you ever stop to think about this? No guesses? Well, If you travel through the Midwest or places that don't have high, if they don't have mountains or other high things, you see a bunch of water towers. So you put water in a structure that's higher than the houses. And the reason that it's pressurized in your house is because it's falling downhill by gravity. Around here, we put them on mesas. You see water tanks on the top of mesas around here. They're still taller than the houses, right? But if you build a skyscraper that's taller than the water tower, the water is only going to go up to the level that it started at in the tank. It can't get any higher, which means to get water to the top of a skyscraper, you have to force it uphill by operating a pump. Those buildings need their own pumps to move that water to the top floor. And that takes a hell of a lot of energy because water is heavy. Well, a sequoia tree doesn't have any electrical pump working. It doesn't even have a pump like our heart working. It's all driven by these hydrogen bonds, which are individually tiny forces. But when there's a hell of a lot of them, they add up to quite a bit. And it's probable that sequoia trees have evolved to be just about as tall as anything can be, any plant can be. Because if you get it taller and taller, the train, if you imagine lifting up the train vertically, you're holding the engine, it's going to, or you just do it with a chain. You pick up chain, it seems like it's light until you have so many links you're lifting that it becomes very heavy. Well, you get this train too long, and gravity's going to win, and it's going to break a hitch between cars. That's going to cause a bubble in the vessel, and so it's not going to work anymore. So I don't think trees could get actually much taller than sequoias have evolved to be. But it's all because of hydrogen bonding, which you wouldn't have if water were not polar. Let me go to slide 3, and I might not get all the way through this slide, but I can start it. Oh, no, I forgot that that's slow. Let's just resume at 3 on Wednesday.